Berlin is seriously depleting its own weapons stockpiles by supplying the hardware to Kiev. Meanwhile, Ukraine had until recently consistently lambasted Germany over its perceived unwillingness to provide heavy weaponry to Kiev. According to former Ukrainian ambassador to Germany, Andrei Melnik, when an effective range believed to be up to 40 kilometers, their defense system is rather expensive. Speaking to Wirtschaftswoche magazine back in June, the diplomat estimated that one such unit could cost about 140 million euros, that is, $135.4 million. French broadcaster Entendeur of France 2 says, French President Emmanuel Macron stated Paris will send air defense systems, radars, missiles and weapons to Ukraine in the coming weeks to defend against missile and drone attacks. Emmanuel Macron, whose comments come after Ukraine experienced a wave of Russian missile attacks, claimed on Wednesday, 12th of October, the French supplies would specifically help defeat these kinds of threats. He added that France would deliver the hardware and the necessary training to Ukraine. Ukraine has specifically requested the weapons as a priority. The French president noted that this decision followed an unprecedented phase of bombings that struck Ukrainian cities and infrastructure. Without going into detail, Emmanuel Macron said France was providing military intelligence to Ukraine. He claimed Russia is profoundly destabilized in its capacity to regenerate its arms, its production and industry. Emmanuel Macron also declared, "We are in a hybrid war," he said. "We're not just using weapons on the ground, but using weapons of information," claiming that Russia was using a wide variety of approaches to wage the conflict, including propaganda channels, paying for influence, including on social media sites, weaponizing migration, blackmail and hunger. Questioned on nuclear risks in Ukraine, the French President Emmanuel Macron confirmed that France's nuclear doctrine would not automatically commit to a retaliatory strike if Russia used nuclear weapons in Ukraine. The French President also refused to brand Russia a terrorist state, saying that such labels have little consequences. Macron claimed, "There's one state that's declared war, and that's more than enough." Sky News television channel has more about the same story. Britain's Defence Secretary Ben Wallace stated London will supply Kiev with advanced air defence missiles capable of shooting down cruise projectiles. Ben Wallace also announced a new aid ahead of a two-day NATO meeting in Brussels on Wednesday, 12th of October. The missile authorised for shipment to Ukraine is called the Advanced Medium-Range Air-to-Air Missiles, or AMRAAM. Furthermore, Britain will also be providing Ukraine with hundreds of drones to support its intelligence services and 18 howitzer artillery guns, in addition to 64 already delivered. British Defence Secretary Ben Wallace said these weapons will help Ukraine defend its skies from attacks and strengthen their overall missile defence alongside the US NASAMS, or National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile System. The United Kingdom has previously supplied Kiev with various weapons, including the Endlor anti-tank missile launcher. Ukraine's key Western allies gathered in Brussels, Belgium, in order to discuss how to boost support for Ukraine and replenish allies' depleted military stockpiles. They pledge new air defences and more aid on the sidelines of the meeting. The pledges from Paris and London followed similar announcements from United States and Germany recently. Canada also announced it would provide over $47 million Canadian dollars in new military aid to Ukraine, with a package including artillery rounds, satellite communications equipment, winter clothing, and drone cameras. Furthermore, the French Defense Minister, Sébastien Lecornu, told Le Parisien newspaper on Saturday, 15th of October, President Emmanuel Macron has backed a proposal to train a large number of Ukrainian soldiers in France. He said the president has approved a training plan that will allow up to 2,000 Ukrainian soldiers to be welcomed in France. Sébastien Lecornu added, "They will be assigned to our units for several weeks," adding that military training for the use of Caesar howitzers had previously been offered to Ukrainian soldiers, Lecornu said, but now it's a change of scale.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the leader of Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Naghvi. Sayyid Naghvi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of cultural attack or cultural invasion, which is, we can say, the attack against the Islamic values or the system of the values in a Muslim country. First, let's start with the definition of cultural invasion or cultural attack. What is it, Sayyid Mohsen?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this concept of cultural invasion has come after the World War, which was basically when you want to invade a country, the concept was that you do not need to invade physically.
Okay.
Rather, you go in there, you change their culture, you change their mentality, and you make them someone who thinks like you, who dresses like you, who talks like you, and he is in line with you. When you can do this to any culture, actually you have invaded that country without having a physical, you know, appearance in that country.
Yes.
So when we talk about the cultural invasion, is that when someone's living style, his own culture, when people, they forget about that.
Yes.
So this becomes a cultural invasion.
And this could be against any type of culture?
Yes.
I mean, native culture, for example?
Any type of native cultural.
That's
cultures.
Right. That's right. Okay. So the global lifestyle, Shaykh Rouhani, has changed people very much the same. I mean, for example, when you look at the Japanese, the suits are very much the same like the Westerners. Even Iran nowadays, you know, the system of the wearing clothes or something like that. The Native Americans, or we could say the Indians, also Africans, they are following a kind of global lifestyle. Can we call this global lifestyle, which is very much rooted in the Western ideology and philosophy, a kind of cultural invasion or not?
Of course, why not? You know, if we,
okay.
Of course, if you go back, for example, to India or China or Japan or Africa, for example, some decades back, you see, of course, as you mentioned, the way of clothing. I mean, their culture was totally different as compared to now. And so if they changed in the course of time and now we have modern kind of culture in those countries, in those nations, and of course, it is the result of a kind of cultural attack or cultural invasion, we can say. This is what happened in this 21st century and 20th century. Yeah, this is the reality.
Yes.
We cannot
This is not part. This is not. You believe the part of natural, for example, development of human beings. For example,
no, never.
A modern day or 21st century.
No, I don't think so. You know, if for example, if India naturally developed, so they should develop their own values, their own cultural systems. Or for example, for Muslims, for Iranian, you know, Iran is a very old nation.
Yes,
an old country.
Yes, the ancient country.
Of course, their culture is again a very powerful and strong culture.
Yes.
So if it naturally improved in the course of time, it should be an Iranian culture, not a westernized culture.
Yes.
So this is out of the, it is the result of that invasion or that attack.
That's right.
Before we go forward, we if you look at the, you know, even the definition of global arrogance, you'll find many writers who wrote that this global arrogance is a term which is used to describe the culture and economic hegemony of the United States over other countries. And on top of that, Thomas Friedman has remarked in 1999 that the global arrogance is when your culture and economic clots are so powerful and widely diffused that you do not need to occupy other people to influence their lives. So this is not something that has naturally, we can say, like, has come, like, or maybe people are changing their lifestyle. It is not the case.
Okay.
It is something which is plotted with the planning, with the strategies, which were made, I said, like, after the World War.
This is my main question. And what are the strategies? For example, we can say acting against the religious values of a country is the first one, whether it is, for example, Christianity or Judaism or, I don't know, Islam.
There are two ways. When we look at the French government, they have openly opposed the religious thoughts.
Yes.
For example, in Iran, there was hijab, putting on veils. They officially said to, you know, the king of the time, Reza Shah, to order everyone not to put veil. So this was an open, we can say, like, opposing the religious...
Kashf-e hijab, you mean?
Kashf-e hijab,
unveiling the women, yes.
For example, when they were mourning in the month of Muharram, they stopped them from mourning in the month of Muharram. So this is one of the ways which we can see, which was not so, we can say, effective. The other way, the way America is doing.
Yes.
They make people secular. Mm-hmm. They say religion is different from your life. So this secular thought...
But Said Mohsen, they say that America is more religion than some of the European countries.
Well, if religion
even, for example, their president has an oath of allegiance on the Bible or something like that. So what is this type of religion?
Well, that's what I said. The secular being a religious in a secular meaning, that, you know, you show that you're religious, but you're not religious.
Okay.
You don't give any attention towards the religion. For example, how many times the president of U.S. who have taken oath on Bible or something like that, how many Sundays he attended the church?
Okay.
You will see it rarely.
Even maybe the Republicans more than the Democrats.
Yes. Okay. So you see it rarely.
Okay.
You know, so this is the case. When you make everything secular, secular means like everything is different from others. There is no role of religion in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take out religion, and let me just give this example. Generally, we give this example in our own language, like Urdu when we talk. Maybe in Persian it is also. You know, when we want to make a bread, we, you know, mix it with the water.
Yes.
And we put some salt in it in order to make some taste, to build some taste.
Okay.
So generally, the other things of life in religion should be equal to the salt that we mix into that, you know, mixture of the bread, like the wheat and the water.
You mean they must find a taste?
This is a taste.
Taste.
Whereas the religion has become the salt right now in our lives.
Okay.
It's just a taste.
Yes.
You know, for change of taste, we go to mosque for prayer.
Yes.
Juma prayer, for example.
Okay.
Or there are many people who just read the Eid prayers
mm-hmm.
on the day of Eid every year, and they have nothing to do with the religion for the rest of their life.
That's for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their life.
That's right. Okay. That's all right. Sheikh, even the educational system, you know, and the books which are taught at the universities and the schools in terms of the content are very much different from the past decades in so many countries. It seems that the Western values found their way into the education and educational system of so many Muslim lands too, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You know, that this modern system itself is problematic
uh-huh.
for the Muslims.
Okay.
If you want to be a true Muslim, really, honestly, if you want to be a true Hindu, a true Buddhist, I don't know, a true Jew, a true Christian, you know, this kind of modern systems, which are based on certain kind of modern, let's say, secular or something like values, or atheism is behind this, humanism is behind this, or human centrism is behind this, philosophically talking. That's why this system is problematic, first of all. So then the outcome of these modern systems is not in line with the interests of the believers of the, let's say, Islamic culture. That's why we see that the engineers, the perfect, the, let's say, the professional and expert engineers, when they are graduated from these modern systems, they go to the U.S., they go to Europe, they serve for them, that's for right. these, let's say, countries and for their factories and companies. They do not stay in their own countries. They do not, let's say, serve for their own people. They do not help their own people because their mindset is changed.
Yes.
What they are looking for is those things that rely in those countries and those, let's say, okay. companies and factories. You know, this is the problem that nowadays we have. And that is why we have to change these kind of systems. We have to, let's say, bring about some kind of revolution in yes. our educational systems
okay.
from the school to the universities.
Yes.
Otherwise, the outcome of this system is this thing that's happening in yes. our countries and our okay. nations.
Now we are producing an English language program. Do you believe that, for example, English language, learning and teaching it is called a cultural invasion? So we are in the wrong ground now or not? Say it.
Well, it depends. If you use the books and material which are designed for the cultural invasion through English learning or like, you know, the process, mm-hmm. then okay. obviously, yes, it is. The reason I'm saying it is that if you go and look at the reason and aims and goals of the Oxford syllabus, which has been taught, which is taught like in the whole world, like in Pakistan, in other countries.
Yes.
The aim and goals of developing Cambridge syllabus yes. for the schools.
Okay.
When you go and find out, it is all to take your own culture to these countries. That was the main goal. And therefore, they are conveying their own message through this syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
The second thing is, obviously, when someone wants to have the invasion, like the cultural invasion, we have seen that, especially against Islam, that is the main point, because we are living in a Muslim country. Yes. And Islamophobia. You know, in the movies, if you see the movies in late 60s, maybe 70s, 80s, 90s, whenever they wanted to show the Muslims, they used to show Arabs.
Yes.
As someone who does not know about the life, he is yes. living backward life.
Barbaric. Yes.
Killing, I don't know, the pirates from the Arabs, maybe. Yes, yes. You know? So this was the picture,
yes.
which they picturized about the Islam, the mm-hmm. Muslim world.
Yes.
And later, how they, you know, they did all those things. It ended up to ISIS and Daesh.
Yes.
For example.
This is what Professor yeah. Edward Said, in his famous book, Orientalism, has pictured, that how Muslims and the Arabs were pictured in the Western, media. And how the Arabs and the Muslims themselves believed
yes.
the picture. This is the sad
Why?
Part.
Because,
okay?
because the Hollywood was, you know, a fame. It had a fame. Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted to watch the movies. So okay. that was the best quality movies at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they believed this.
Yes.
That was the main issue. The reality which is behind the revolution of the Islamic revolution in Iran is that Imam Khomeini never believed in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between, for example, we have Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan in Pakistan.
Yes.
In Indo-Pak. He was one of the revolutionary guys, but he used to believe that the West is advanced, has advanced,
yes.
and we need to reach to them. Whereas Imam Khomeini, when he came, he said, no, West is backward.
Mm-hmm.
The one who does not know where he came from, where he is, and where he wants to go, this person is a backward. He does yes. not know where to go, where we as a Muslim know where we came from, where we are living right now, and where we will go. So there's a difference of ideology, and that made this Islamic revolution to, you know, to win, to basically have this victory in the time where we can see the whole world was against this revolution.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen and Sheikh Rouhani, for nice explanations regarding the concept of cultural attack or invasion and how to oppose them based on the speeches of leader of Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept our يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a bezel of wisdom from the gateway of the city of knowledge, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Meet people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you. And if you're alive, they long for your company.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
The year back as India has released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India, covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. After repeated failed attempts, NASA has eventually launched this moon rocket on its debut flight. NASA's next-generation moon rocket blasted off from Florida, marking the start of the space agency's new program dubbed Artemis. An uncrewed Orion spaceship is fixed to the top of the 32-story tall Space Launch System rocket. It will be separated for a 25-day voyage around the moon and back without astronauts aboard. It was the third time after two previous launch attempts were cancelled for technical reasons. If the mission succeeds, a crewed Artemis II will orbit around the moon but not land on the surface in 2024. The third Artemis mission, scheduled for 2025, will be the first to put astronauts on the moon since Apollo's mission about 5 decades ago.
Iran has hosted an international student scientific contest dubbed Noor or Light. The annual event seeks to promote science among children and scout for child prodigies. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
They have only 1 minute to present a scientific idea in their homemade clips. Over 1,300 teenage science enthusiasts from 19 countries participated in Iran's Noor competition, a scientific contest for school students. The fifth edition of the event was themed with optical illusion and mathematical modeling. The top 100 videos were awarded during this closing ceremony in Tehran.
My work is titled The Bouncing Ball. We painted a long oval and a shadow under it. When we film it from a certain angle, it takes the shape of a levitating ball.
Our work is about an optical illusion. We created a set of conjoining cylinders that appeared to change shape in the mirror. The idea was first created by a Japanese engineer in 2016.
The most creative videos win the prize. They should be both educational and mind-blowing, like this floating Rubik's Cube, which appears to be levitating, but then turns out to be just an origami work.
We have two levels of the competition. One is the kind of general competition for the crowd, and many students can contribute on that, in that. And we have other level, which is for elites. And in that level, we have more sophisticated competition between elite.
Organizers say participants in Noor contest are not supposed to make breakthroughs. The main goal, they say, is to engage them in science and let them experience the excitement of scientific experiments.
Try to make these teenagers learn how they can think about science for the welfare of human beings and how they can apply it for them.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation is the organizer of this scientific event. The foundation also holds the biennial Mustafa Prize, which awards cash prizes to top scientists from across the Muslim world, whose accomplishments contribute to the welfare of human beings.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation, as the organizer of Noor competition, says prodigies are everywhere. They just need to be discovered. It says this contest is a platform that's specially designed to scout for teenage minds and give them a chance to shine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
We'll be right back.
Chinese aerobatic teams have been performing jaw-dropping stunts to mark the 73rd anniversary of the People's Liberation Army Air Force. Pilots wowed the audience with their complicated maneuvers, such as swooping close to the ground, making loops and rolls. Aerobatic teams use red, yellow and blue smoke trails representing the flag of the Chinese Air Force. The Hongying aerobatic team, also known as the Red Eagle, is made up of 10 JL-8 trainer planes and 20 pilots from the Air Force Aviation University. The performance was part of China's International Aviation and Aerospace Exhibition held in southern China. The exhibit typically draws thousands of participants in the field of aviation from countries all over the world. Iran is the land of saffron, and the red gold has earned the country a fortune throughout the centuries. Now Iran's city of Torbat Haydariya has hosted a saffron photography festival as a means to introduce the lucrative product to the world. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Like gold, it is weighed in shekels, not in kilos. And that's why saffron is called the red gold, reflecting how precious it is economically. Torbat Haydariya in northeast Iran is the hub of saffron cultivation in the country, producing an average of 20 million tons of the crop each year. Now the city hosts the Festival of Saffron Photography every year to introduce Iran as the land of saffron and how these hard-working farmers produce the strategic crop.
Photographers present in this festival should use their artistry to shed light on different stages of saffron harvest all the way to the final product. Everyone knows Iranian saffron, but perhaps few know how it's produced. So this festival highlights this issue using photography.
Photography is a universal language that needs no translation, so their photos can better introduce this strategic plant to the world from unique angles.
This year, Iran exported roughly 300 tons of saffron, generating more than $350 million in income, according to the data provided by the Ministry of Agriculture. Experts believe Iran could have a much higher share of the global trade of saffron if it pays better attention to branding and marketing of the product.
Due to favorable weather conditions, Iranian saffron is unique in the world. But unfortunately, in many countries, it's smuggled in bulk and is packaged under foreign brands and then sold at higher prices. If we can brand it inside Iran, then we can export it more efficiently.
The young farm owner says his saffron is exported to Europe and the Middle East, despite the restrictions caused by U.S. sanctions on Iran. But more than the U.S. measures, he's concerned about the impact of climate change on saffron cultivation, warning of what he calls saffron immigration from his city, if authorities remain idle.
Unfortunately, saffron is gradually leaving our region and moving to western parts of Iran. This is due to changes in weather conditions and declining rainfall here. If the government helps farmers with modification of planting patterns, we can stop this disaster.
Over the past 2 years, Iran has expanded its cultivation area for saffron to 115,000 hectares, nearly 20 times more than the entire worldwide land dedicated to the crop. While the Iranian red gold is mainly cultivated in the northeastern Khorasan province, other parts of the country, including Khuzestan and Chaharmahal Bakhtiari, are also fertile for saffron farming.
For centuries, saffron has been a key word in Iran's economy, and still is today. Now, Saffron Photography Festival says many know Iran by its red gold, but through the photos shot here, they will get a glimpse of the mesmerizing saffron farms in Iran and how this amazing crop is produced. Yusuf Jalali from the saffron farms in the suburbs of Torbat Haydariya.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
You usually rats are associated with garbage and disease, but these rats are not the typical rodents. They are being trained in Tanzania for search and rescue operations. These are a breed called the African giant pouch rat, which is naturally a very curious creature. It can weigh up to around 1,500 grams and are known to have longer lifespans than other rats. Lead researcher at the Belgium-based non-profit company Apopo, Donna Keane, says this species can live up to 10 years. This means that even after the 9 months of training, the rat will still have a long working career ahead. The size and agility of rats make them invaluable for search and rescue efforts.
So this is where the idea for the rats came in, because the rats are just as trainable as dogs. They've got a great sense of smell, and their small size and natural agility should hopefully make them really good in this scenario where they could squeeze in small spaces and get closer to any victims.
The rescue rats began training in August last year at the Apopo's Training and Research Center. The rodents are fitted with tiny backpacks that enable real-time wireless audio-visual communication. When they find a potential victim, they pull a small handle hanging around their neck to let the rescue handlers know. The rats were trained to locate humans in mock disaster zones, such as aftermath of earthquakes. Apopo has already trained rats to detect landmines and sniff out tuberculosis. So much joy can be found in a bottle of luxury perfume, but parting with hundreds of dollars for such scents, I can take the shine off that experience. Now in Syria, a perfumer is helping people smell expensive without digging too deep into their pockets. One whiff of a fragrance is all a Syrian perfumer needs to recreate the scents of luxury brands for a fraction of a cost. That's very welcome in a country ravaged by years of foreign-backed militancy. Dozens of customers flock daily to his tiny store nestled in the historic bazaar of Damascus. They flash photos on their phones of high-end perfumes they want to replicate. He says all he has is his nose.
Here lies the secret of the profession and the brain power. I started training my nose to smell perfumes since I was 15 years old. I do not own high-end equipment. All I have is my nose, my brain power and expertise. That's all.
In the war-torn country, many people struggle to afford life's bare necessities, let alone perfume. With the local currency losing much of its value, Syrian employees reportedly make roughly $25 a month, on average a quarter of the price of a bottle of imported perfume. This perfumer sells his fragrances for about $6, drawing in a flow of clients from all walks of life. Some people believe the internet will soon make paper books a thing of the past. In Iraq, book lovers are fighting back. They have launched a book festival offering thousands of free books to encourage the Arab nation to read more. The festival is called Iraq Reads. It's attracted big crowds. Iraqis stood shoulder to shoulder behind long tables covered in books and flipped through hundreds of titles to find the one catching their interest. Some others gather on next to the stands to read under a tree, chat about their newest books, or listen to extracts of literature read aloud through a loudspeaker. One of the organizers says they aim to revive the culture of reading books, reading paper books.
It's a crisis all over the world, not only in Iraq. There is a crisis in terms of reading paper books. One of the goals for our festival is to revive the reading of paper books so that the electronic book does not become an alternative of the paper book.
As part of the festival, 70,000 books have been distributed for free across the country so far. The books covering a wide range of topics were donated by partner libraries. The festival is held in 7 provinces in the Arab country.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio from Iran. Be with us. The topic that which today we're going to concern about is importance of secrecy. I mean, keeping things secret in Islamic viewpoint. So be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Monday, is the 26th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. This is chapter 17, verse 34.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا.
And do not approach the property of an orphan except in the way that is best, until he reaches maturity, and fulfill every commitment. Indeed, the commitment is ever that about which one will be questioned.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is so owning to the fact that most of the social relationships and the channels of economic system as well as political issues all revolve around the access of pledges and promises. If and when there is a stumbling block found in them, the social system will instantly collapse. Therefore, we must stick to our words, keeping them whatever they might be and with whomever they might be. In the meantime, some Islamic traditions denote that one of the examples of pledges and promises which are in the question is compassion, affection, and obedience with respect to Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty, the sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to His supremacy, Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
We're speaking about the importance of secrecy or keeping things secret in Islam. Be with us. Secrets vary. There are those for which the person who discloses them must be dealt with harshly, because disclosing them causes widespread harm, such as disclosing secrets to the enemies and enabling them to defeat the Ummah or gain victory over them. This is what is known in modern parlance as high treason, and there are secrets that are less serious, such as those in which disclosure causes harm to individuals, but in all cases, disclosure is a betrayal of the trust and breaking of the covenant. In the Sunnah, we find a warning against seeking out the secrets of others and spreading secrets that should not be spread.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. This is Ali, your host, from IRB English Radio, and we shall be with you, inshallah, in our today's show with our topic that is secrecy and how to keep secrets. Now, let's talk about the different types of privacy, or let's say secrecy. Sometimes secrecy means that a person keeps the secrets of others, and sometimes it is necessary for a person to keep his own secrets and not reveal them to others. If someone places a person as his trustee and entrusts a secret to him, the other side should not reveal it to others. In addition, a person should also try to keep his own secrets. If we are going to keep friendship with someone today, we have to be cautious to keep the limits so that it does not cause us trouble later, as it is stated in the hadith, in narrations. Protecting the reputation of a believer is as respected and valuable as his blood. This is what the hadith says. For this reason, we must respect the dignity of others, and we must not violate the dignity that God subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for us. So let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about secrecy in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, Almighty Allah has said in verse 26 of Surah Al-Jinn regarding secrecy that Allah Almighty is aware of secrets and aware of all events, but still no one is aware of His hidden secrets. Almighty Allah covers the secrets of His servants and therefore emphasizes secrecy.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
The institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Now, why we keep so many secrets? What secrets do people keep? Come here and be with us. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. the researchers identify three dimensions that describe each secret. One of them is immorality. Number two is connectedness. And number three is insight. Now, immorality. Some secrets involve behavior that people, including the secret holder, would consider to be immoral. Examples of hidden information that are high on the immoral dimensions include harming another person or illegal acts. Other secrets have no particular moral component to them, such as ambitions, a hobby, or feelings of discontent at work. The other one is connectedness. People generally keep the details of their relationships secret. And the other one is insight. In work life, we often have to keep certain information confidential. We clearly understand why we keep these secrets. Conversely, we often have little insight into the reasons for our health problems. So these are rated low on the inside dimension. How to keep a secret. Stop the person from telling you. If you know that you are really bad about keeping secrets, tell the person not to tell you the secret. The person will appreciate your honesty and still has the option of telling you, knowing that you may tell someone else. The other one, suggest that the person tell you the secret right before they tell other people, so you do not have to keep the secret very long. And some studies have shown that keeping a secret puts undue stress on a person. If you wish to avoid added stress, just say no to secrets.
There are a few things you shouldn't share with friend. One being the secrets that occur within your own family. Family secrets are a trust which should be preserved. Being negligent in preserving this trust makes one lose her husband's trust. Therefore, beware of the secrets of your home, the topic of your chat, or a heart-to-heart talk, as you might imagine. Do not think that your friend will keep your secret which you could not keep yourself. First and foremost, keeping the secrets of your home in general, and especially your intimate relations with your husband, is required under Sharia and is part of your worship of Allah the Almighty. Psychologists stress the fact that the wife's heart-to-heart talk with her female friends and disclosing her home secrets mostly result in worry more than comfort. It is true that she may feel temporarily and immediately comfortable. But worry will dominate her when these secrets are spread and she reaps regret and loss. No man is ever pleased with having his marital life's secrets disclosed. The secrets of the home are not of the same degree of importance. There are secrets about the private relations between the spouses, which they should keep only to themselves. We previously mentioned the warning of the Prophet against revealing such secrets. There are secrets that are relevant to the differences between the spouses. Revealing such secrets should be according to their gravity. The wise wife is the one who keeps these secrets and only reveals to those who would help in solving the problem. However, she should not reveal them to her friends or relatives. Rather, she should reveal them to those she believes to be wise and able to achieve the divine advice.
I'm sure You agree with me? It's a nice topic to discuss, to know more about it. So inshallah, we'll continue on the next episode of today's special. Till then, that is tomorrow. Allah keep all of you sound and safe. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.